Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Alamucha.
That would be really weird. I bet you got that one right. That sounds,
well, you that sounds about right. For Alamucha. Lauderdale County.
Actually, it's Ala McCaw.
If it's Ala McCaw, I quit. All right, that's the last time we're ever doing this bit. If it's Ala McCaw.
We finally had, like, the Mississippi pronunciations down. Like, no. Actually, this one is Ala McCaw.
Ala McCaw. I'm out. That's the last one I'll ever do, if that's the one. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Guys, it's going to be great weather this weekend. Fire up those grills. Throw some steaks on, or heck, do the all-day thing with a brisket. Maybe put you a big chuck roast, or you can do a quick one, do a tri-tip. Do something unusual, do something unique, but do something with beef this weekend on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Everything maroon and white, like this Cutter and Buck maroon and white bulldog polo that I'm wearing right now. Got this at College Corner. You can get it too. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, filled by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. And by the way, you know that if I'm wearing it, that it comes in the big guy sizes, so you're good. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than that, shred your tweet. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. Talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. If you're not doing business with Jaeger Bass at Merkel and Koch, what do you do? Hey, if Merkel and Koch wants to advertise on Thunder and Lightning, reach out to me at heydad@supertalk.fm. We can be right here in the Merkel and Koch studios. I promise
it's
you.
It's probably that. Coach or Coke
there's
or something.
No way. Again, there's no chance that's not Koch.
The Jaegermeister.
The Jaegermeister. If my name was Jaeger, I would absolutely be referred to as the Jaegermeister.
Jaeger Bass is, at this point, is like Steve Stifler.
Yeah,
he's basically a character from a 1990s, early 2000s romantic comedy.
Yeah.
One of those things. Like, yeah. He's one of those guys.
I'm with you.
Jaeger Bass, attorney at law.
I mean, that sounds like a Netflix show that stars, I don't know, who would be Jaeger? Who would play the lead role of Jaeger Bass? Like Pete Davidson.
Oh, God. Don't put that evil on Jaeger.
Be Jaeger Bass.
Don't put that evil on him.
Who was that Ole Miss guy a few years ago that we gave a lot of pub to, and his head got a little big for it? And you remember him? He had, like, the most Ole Miss name ever.
Oh, he listened to our show, like, every day.
He did, and he still. I'm sure he still does. But
didn't he end up like make a coffee cup or something?
Yes.
About like
yes,
the most Ole Miss name ever or something.
We're just like, oh,
we got to. We're gonna have to.
It's on the.
We have to lay off a little bit. We're giving a little too much shine here.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it. Would have been last year or something. I can't. I'm not finding it. It's a shame. I wish I could. If you're out there, hit us up. We miss you. All right. Later in the show, Matt Stahl of AL.com will join us. It's time to start whipping our way around the SEC and looking at these programs. Alabama will be first up on the list. Why? because we go alphabetically. We make it easy on ourselves. But we got to talk baseball to start things off. First off, you're welcome. You're welcome. I sat up in this studio for like an hour and 10 minutes yesterday, making sure the job got done. So
I can be your hero, baby.
I'm not saying I'm a hero. I'm just saying I understand sports. I want that out there. I am officially ball knower. That was a great
I also win. Believe that the Mississippi State comeback would coincide with Ole Miss blowing it against Southern Miss in the ninth inning. So I don't know what to tell you, but the science flipped there, and Ole Miss blew it. Mississippi State won it.
I can't. We can't. That's another corollary of the science is can state when state's not playing, but Ole Miss is playing, and can you get both? That has happened. That's a higher hit rate than the other. So the cross corollary there, or whatever you want to call it. That was a good win. You know, you're down 7-2. You don't have much going. And to me, Robbie, what this win showed is there's just not any easy days with this Mississippi State baseball lineup if you're an opposing pitcher, right? You got a bunch of guys that are hitting over 300, which means what? The third at bat's coming, and they're probably going to get a hit there.
And you have a bunch of guys now hitting over 400.
Yeah, it's just going to be really look, those numbers, you know, we're going to look back in a month, and those numbers will be down because they'll have faced a lot of quality SEC pitching. But, man, it is going to be really – at no point last night, even when they were playing poorly, was I thinking this team is only going to score two runs in this game. I knew they would put up some runs. I didn't know they were going to put up an eighth spot there in the bottom of the seventh with the big blow from Ace Reese, his grand slam. But I knew runs were coming. I have confidence in this team each win and each team, this team each week and each week. I'll get there eventually. I will.
Come on. I have
confidence in this team week in and week out to score runs. And, you know, we were talking about this on Sports Talk Mississippi on Wednesday or on Tuesday. And Borky was just like, this weekend in Fayetteville, first team to five is going to win. You know, because Arkansas has trouble hitting the baseball right now. But their pitching is elite. If State puts up five runs on them, they're going to sweep almost. I just don't see State's offense being tamped down very often this year.
Last night, well, Tuesday night, in the starting lineup, I believe 8 out of the 9 guys were batting over 350 on the season. And again, those numbers, like you said, they're going to drop. Reed Stallman's not going to bat 457 the entire year. But I think we've seen enough evidence at this point, you know, from these players to know that this offense is not going to have a lot of days where they're just completely shut down. You just have too many really good offensive pieces in here, guys that are putting together really good plate appearances. Listen, the first 6 innings of this game, even Brian O'Connor said the plate awareness, their approach was terrible. I mean, he said it after the game last night. It was just a terrible approach against the different pitchers that Tulane were throwing out. But this team always figures out a way to rally in an inning or something, you know, and it'll be like waves. Like it was like, what was it, 7 runs they scored in the seventh inning? Eight runs. That's what you get from this offense. It's like a tidal wave, and you cannot stop it. Mm-hmm. It's like 5 straight guys getting on base, and that's essentially what happened. You know, Bryce Chance, strangely, out of everybody that inning, Bryce Chance was the one guy that basically delivered, you know, at the very least, like a non-productive out, and that's not what I expected from him.
Bryce Chance, he struck out looking, I believe. I think it was
he struck out looking.
It was that the zone last night was big. We'll just say that, but. That was one. I was on my way here, and like in between my car and being inside, I had Stat broadcast up, and I saw Chance strikes out looking. I was like, "That's a collector's item. That doesn't happen very often." So you're right. Like,
you had first and second.
The guy,
you know, Chance strikes out, and you're like, "Man, are they not going to get anything out of this?" Wires walks, and you're like, "All right, this is it." Ace Reese, I was a little concerned Ace Reese was about to strike out. He got up 3-0. They climbed back in it. It was 3-2. And I'm sitting there going, if he strikes out, they're getting nothing out of this. And he just calmly dropped one over the fence, and the floodgates just opened. And then it was just plate appearance after plate appearance was a good one for State. Garrick Fry was hammering the baseball. Noah Sullivan got on base. It's certainly just so impressive to watch. I mean, you can have a guy like Aiden Till, who we expect to be, kind of a centerpiece of this offense before it's all said and done, a potential leadoff hitter. He can be out for a full week, and you're not really missing much. Like Drew Weyers has stepped in that leadoff spot and has been really good to
I
this
think he's
point.
in the lineup now. I don't think you can take Wires out.
It's tough to bring him out of the game. I mean, he's batting .462. All he's done is get on base and hit since he's been in the lineup. He's started in 8 games. He's 12 of 26.
Well, State
So
started a lineup last night, Robbie, that 8-9 were both hitting over 450 coming into the game. I mean, these are unusual circumstances. And again, it's gonna calm itself down at some point, but it's not gonna calm itself down. They're not gonna go from hitting 450 to hitting 220. All right. They might drop if they drop 100 points and they're still hitting 350, that's a great job. You're doing a great job as a team. Wires has, I mean, since he came into the lineup, all he's done is produce. And he's probably now your second baseman. Garrick Fry is your DH. Sullivan at first, but you can put Beavis or Stallman there. You can put both of
I
those
mean,
guys in the
Stallman
outfield.
probably needs to be the first baseman, all
Yeah.
things equal,
Defensively, he's probably the best one there.
which then you have you need Noah Sullivan in the lineup
Yeah.
just about every day.
So
So
can
then
he
you
go
have
to
the
the outfield?
conundrum of Garrick Fry, who I think is probably just going to be that's probably just going to be a platoon guy. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it because Drew Weyers is probably your best option at second base, and he's getting on base and he's hitting. So it almost has to be at this point kind of a platoon there. And you probably, when Reed Stallman's fully healthy, you have him at first base because I think that's your best option at first base. And Sullivan needs to be in there most games. Sullivan is going to be, he's slugging .804. He's second on the team in slugging right now. And, he's getting on base as well as anybody. He's batting almost .400. He has 5 home runs. You have to have Noah Sullivan in there, just like the leadership piece. Like he gets people going too, and he's 5 for 5 on stolen bases too. So he's a speed demon out there on the bases.
That's the best stat of the year
Yeah.
thus far. Valencius, is hitting. He's hitting the ball every time he comes up, it feels like. Chance is Bryce Chance. I mean, he has absolute cheat code at the bottom of that lineup. It's ridiculous that the number nine hitter might be the most consistent guy week in and week out. And these are the things we talked about all offseason. So far, they've come to fruition. We've talked to Brian O'Connor about it, and he says, hey, they're tough decisions, but they're great decisions to have. You'd rather have these decisions than a bunch of guys hitting 220 and you're trying to figure out who to put out there. Everything is coming into place to play an Arkansas team that's reeling a little bit. They had it's hard to call a Monday game a midweek loss, but it is what it is. They lost on Monday. They've had some bad losses in the non-conference, and quite frankly, they're just not a really good hitting baseball team. And against Mississippi State, that feels like a little bit of disaster. It feels like it's going to be tough for teams to win pitching duels against Mississippi State. State's not going to play a lot of, I don't think they're going to play a lot of 3-1, 3-2 kind of games. Arkansas is hitting .296 as a team in conference play. Now, you and I both know from years past, when if you're hitting under 300 when conference play starts, you're going to be hitting .250 as a team in a few weeks. Because you're like, the same thing we're saying for State. Like, yeah, they're hitting .354 right now. That's not going to hold up. But if in a couple of weeks they're hitting .304, that's still fine. You're probably leading the SEC. If you're hitting .296 as a team right now, and looking at the bottom of who's hitting, like South Carolina, Alabama, I can live with that, right? That makes sense. They're 15 and 16. 12, 13, 14 is Arkansas, LSU, and Tennessee. These are three teams that have made a living smoking the baseball. They're all under 300 as a team right now. Those numbers are, if they, unless something changes dramatically, those guys are all going to be hitting 250, 260 as a team. And that's going to be a real problem when you play Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think the key here for State is they just need to pitch it really well. Don't give Arkansas free bases in the series. You cannot give them life because right now they're kind of scuffling a little bit at the plate. Now, they have some really good hitters in this lineup too. It just hasn't all clicked. I don't think this offense is going to be one of the best better offenses in the SEC all year, but they could be better as the year goes on. The key for them is they have a really deep pitching staff. This is probably going to be the most talented pitching staff State's seen to this point, and as deep as they've seen too. And you have some real arms in there. And I thought Southern Miss was extremely deep. I thought they had some talent. This is going to be a step up from that because you're going to have more high-end talent on Arkansas's pitching staff here. They have a 274 unearned average.
Yeah.
Very good. It's just, yeah, I mean, 38 walks in 148 innings. They don't put guys on base. They don't have anybody on this team that has more than six walks.
That's not first in the SEC.
Who's number one?
Texas A&M. They've only walked 23 batters. Auburn is two.
Interesting.
There's a big gap there between three and four. So 38 for Arkansas that has them third. And then Tennessee is fourth at 50.
50. So, but I mean, here's the thing, like,
State's tied for fifth with 51, in case you're wondering.
State has just been okay on the mound.
Yeah.
Like, they're right now, they're just okay. I mean, this is, you're talking about a team that right now.
They're 12th in ERA.
They have almost an entire run differential between Arkansas and them in ERA. And State is walking a good bit of batters. They've walked 51 on the season and 146. Mm-hmm. We saw some last night in that game. We need to see really good starts from their three starters. And then you really need the bullpen to be set up well the whole weekend. Can you get Ryan McPherson to give you seven innings? Six innings would be good. But if you could get to that seven-inning mark and you only have to use, you know, one or two guys there and you don't ever use them, it really sets yourself up well. But I think this weekend, State has got to be able to keep things in a low-scoring ball game for Arkansas. Mm. And at some point, you feel like that offense will break through. I mean, you might have one inning.
Could be very similar to what we saw Tuesday, where you're plodding along, and then all of a sudden you've put up a five spot, and that's the difference in winning or losing.
Against UCLA. Mm-hmm. UCLA kind of held them down, and then you had a couple of good innings, and all of a sudden you're winning the ball game. Southern Miss, a couple of good innings, you're winning the ball game. That's all it takes for Mississippi State's offense.
And then they got to find somebody to close it out. I thought the bullpen Tuesday night was good. You know, Foster, you got to continue to let him try to work it out, but I wouldn't start him against anybody I was concerned about right now. Like next week when they play Jackson State, yeah, throw him out there by all means. 2 weeks
after. I don't even know if I would start him. I think he needs a change of scenery.
Come out of the bullpen?
Yeah. I think he just needs to come in and, you know, behind somebody else and you have a bit of a lead. Like, I just don't know if the starting mentality is working for him. It didn't last year, and it hasn't so far this year. I'm not saying give up on him in that role,
mm-hmm.
but I think at some point he's got to be able to kind of rein it in and get his stuff right first, and then you can think about doing that. But for whatever reason, starting is just not working. He's been a much better reliever in his time at Mississippi State. So that's what I would do, but you got to find a starter at some point. I'm almost at the point where I'm like, just – Can Noah Sullivan just be the designated Tuesday starter in these games? You save everybody else. He's been solid. Let him get three or four innings in. I don't think they're going to do that, but that was a good gig for State last year. You know, and it frees up everybody else, keeps Noah Sullivan in the lineup. I don't know.
I think that, like I said, with Foster, we'll see what happens there. You know, maybe your midweek guy. I thought Gleason came into a really tough spot, got out of it. Now, he did give up the home run a little later, but he's been probably your most consistent of these freshmen. Miller, you see the ceiling on this guy. It's really, really high. Got to continue to get better there. I thought it was big for Billingsley to come in, give you a 1-2-3 inning. He's got good stuff. He just needs to continue to improve. Sweeny, we'll see.
Yeah, he's hit a wall here the last two games.
I'd almost rather see Pitzer in those situations than see Sweeny.
So Miller and Billingsley, I thought, had the biggest night
Yeah,
for
agree.
them moving forward because they both had clean appearances. Miller came in, and I think he might have given up a hit.
One hit, but it wasn't like just a ground ball up the middle.
Yeah. So in two innings, struck out multiple batters, was overpowering a couple times. He left with a lot of energy. That's a big confidence boost for him. Billingsley was 1-2-3. That's what these guys need. They have, O'Connor's talked about it a bunch. These guys have not pitched a lot. They haven't thrown a lot of SEC innings, or they haven't pitched a lot of college baseball. Billingsley was at JUCO last year, developed by one of the best coaches in the country, I think, in Neil Holloman. But this is a different level. And these guys have never hardly been on this stage. Even some of the guys that's starting for you, they haven't pitched a ton. Ryan McPherson, Duke Stone, those guys didn't log just a ton of innings last year. So you're asking these guys to go into these big situations playing SEC baseball without having a ton of experience doing it. The best thing that they can do is go out there and have some success and build on that success. Webb was okay, but I'm not worried about him. He's been good enough on the weekends. But Maddox Miller and Billingsley, those two have had a couple of rough spots recently. For them to come out and have just a clean outing and go to the dugout with some excitement, that is huge for their development because you're going to ask both of those guys to log you a ton of innings in SEC play, and you need them to get better and better every time they come out there.
Good win for the Bulldogs. Now we'll look ahead to Arkansas on Friday. Jackson Fuller of the Southwest Times Record covers the Razorbacks. He will join us on tomorrow's podcast. Give us a little preview of what's been going on there in Fayetteville. All right, let's move into some football. And that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you're looking for. Everything at Two Brothers. The menu, top to bottom. There's just so many great things. And I never know what I'm going to get when I go to Two Brothers. It's one of the few places in town I don't have what you would call a regular or a usual thing. And I love that about it. And you will too. And of course, when we're back at Diddy Noble next week, make sure you're headed over to the concession stand to enjoy some awesome Two Brothers smoked wings. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years.
Over 50.
Woo! Came in hot today. I like that. I think that thing is. That's a long phalange, is all I'm going to say. Ah, gosh. I'm not sure whose fingers are more disturbing, yours or Bob's. I don't know what's
Well, I
going
have
on.
all five of mine,
You do have
so
all five, but that thing is.
just leaving the Mississippi
Whoop.
column.
Thought about that.
Was that Future Robbie? What was going on there?
Oh, one of my videos just started randomly playing, so.
Yeah,
One of my
you.
TikToks.
Those TikToks. I like people who cover Mississippi high school stuff and actually cover it on TikTok. I'm a big fan of those people, like you. If you are looking for business technology, if you need a new copier, a new printer, something like that, you know where to find it. It's at Advantage Business Systems. And best of all, if you do buy something from them, you know that they are going to be there after the sale for you. Give them a call today, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Are you looking for some great new Mississippi State gear? You're looking for stuff with the M over S, the state script, the interlocking? They've got it all at Maroon & Co. They've got the selection that nobody else has. Stuff you can't find anywhere else. It's all right there for you at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 in store or online at marooncoco.com to save today. 15% off your purchase today. Father's Day is 3 months away. Mother's Day is 2 months away. Don't wait till the last second. Go ahead and start thinking about it now with a trip to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, guys, it's springtime. And you look around, you look outside. I saw an Instagram video today of a helicopter flying over some trees, and the pollen was just like, it was like fog. It was just rising up over the trees. I was like, oh.
Yeah, Natty yesterday was like, Daddy, somebody went outside and drew on our sidewalk with chalk.
Yeah,
I was like,
God.
What? I was like, was it you? And she said, no, I don't know who it is. And so I went out there. I was like, baby, that's pollen.
Pollen.
Yes.
It's that time. It means it's time to get back in the yard, and a trip to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden will get you set up for success to keep your yard looking the way you want it to. John Deere Power is the way to do that. That's why there are great deals available right now on John Deere mowers, gators, and tractors at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. It's part of their spring savings. Check it out right now because those offers are only going to last until April 30th. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber are the people to know. Great people, experts in their field. They can be experts in your field with a quick phone call. And, of course, if you're a Mississippi State fan, you got to know that you're putting the Bulldogs to work. That is a group full of Bulldogs working at Good Hope Land and Timber. If you own land, you know that your timber can be one of your biggest assets. And if you don't know how to manage it, you need to get somebody in there that knows what's going on. That's where Good Hope Land and Timber will come in for you. They're going to help you get the most value for your property through timber buying, through forest management, thinning, harvesting, and best of all, it's all done safely and responsibly. If you're wondering what your timber might be worth, or you're just planning your next harvest, call our friends at Good Hope Land and Timber, 601-442-9888, or you can look them up on the web, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved. That's Good Hope Land and Timber. Something occurred to me about football because I was thinking about it. I was like, I've never felt less connected. And I still love football. It's my favorite sport. And I started thinking about it. And in my time here on the media, Robbie, this is the first time that I've gone into the season thinking the head coach is in trouble. You know, all the time with Mullen, I never thought that. Moorhead, I didn't think that going into his second year. I thought, he's okay. They're going to be fine. Leach, obviously never. Arnett, I only got 1 year. And then, now here we are with Lebby. And this is the first time we've ever had that. We're coming into the season, and I'm just like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that he's going to make it. And, I'll look around the SEC, and I'll tell you this, though. I'm not the only media member thinking that about the team that they cover. There are several of us, and I think that Matt Stahl is going to be one of those guys. I think that over at Alabama, they are looking at Kalen DeBoer going, might not make it. Might not make it. I mean, I think there's a few of those guys. And what's funny is, State is what it is, but I feel like there's a big jobs. I think at Texas, they're looking at Sark and going, all right now, you missed the playoff last year. You better not do that again. I think at Oklahoma, they're looking at Venables that way. I think at Tennessee, they're looking at Heupel that way. I know darn well they're looking at Shane Beamer that way at South Carolina. So it's going to be an interesting season. We got a lot to talk about as we go through. We'll get our thoughts on Alabama in just a minute. Let's go down to this interview. I talked yesterday with Matt Stahl from AL.com, been on the podcast many times before. All of our interviews are brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. Looking at their website right now, and we're talking about, here's what we're talking about. Featured premium services. They have the GLP-1 injections for weight loss. I know a lot of folks have used those, and they've been very successful with them. Helps you, maintain your appetite. They have massage therapy. They have IV therapy, cryotherapy. They have plenty of services available for pain management, for weight loss, to help you relax and de-stress. It's all right there for you at Allura Modern Wellness. Whatever you need to do to get yourself feeling better, Allura Modern Wellness has a service that they provide that does exactly that. Give them a call today at 662-268-9255, or you can visit them online, AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book all of their services right there online. Allura Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Matt Stahl of AL.com. All right, time to start looking around the SEC as spring football is going to get started everywhere we look. We start with Alabama. Matt Stahl, AL.com, back on the podcast. Glad to have him with us. And let's just start right at the very top. Ty Simpson off to the NFL. The Alabama quarterback battle. Is it a battle, or do you have a pretty good feeling for who's going to get the job there?
Yeah, it is a battle. You got Austin Mack, who was the main backup last year. You saw him play a lot in the Rose Bowl after Ty cracked a rib. Then you got Keelan Russell, who was five-star freshman last year. They sort of let him compete for the starting job with Ty and Austin, even though like it seemed pretty clear from the beginning who was going to win that job. And yeah, it's those two going at it this year. And yeah, I think it is a real battle. I think it's going to be, yeah, one of them is going to need to go grab the job.
Do you feel like one of them has an advantage coming into spring? Is that going to be Matt because he has the experience?
Probably coming into spring, yes. Raw talent wise, I think it's probably Keelan. Like, I don't know, if I had to bet money on it, like I just don't know how much longer you can keep Keelan Russell off the field. Like, by all accounts, the talent's just there. So yeah, we'll see what happens. Neither result would really surprise me, but especially in spring, like in spring with the experience, I feel like you'd probably see Mac more with the ones. But yeah, we'll see what happens when game one rolls around.
So, and I may make some Alabama fans angry with that one, but it won't be the first time. This is like the most nondescript looking skill position group I can remember seeing at Alabama. I mean, Ryan Williams, great player, but he took a step back last season.
Ryan Coleman
I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Williams.
I'm sorry. I didn't, I hate to offend. Ryan Coleman Williams, but he took a step back. I mean, Noah Rogers is a good receiver these past couple of years, but eh. There's not a Jerry Jeudy or Devontae Smith. There's not a Najee Harris or a Derrick Henry on this roster the way I see it. Are these elite skill position guys good enough for Alabama?
Yeah, because I think you're forgetting about Lotsier Brooks. Like,
He's good.
I think he can be really, really, really good this coming year. Ryan's just got to figure out the drops. If he can hold on to the ball more consistently, he's in a good spot. The thing about him, though, like he's a really good receiver. He's really talented. He's not like 6'4", though, right? Like, he's not gonna go be like a Julio Jones type there. The real like interesting one to me is going to be running back. I mean, they stunk running the ball last season. Like, it was awful against everybody except like ULM. No offense to ULM, but like they're probably not an elite run
Let
defense.
the Sickos committee know we mentioned ULM here on the
Yeah.
show.
Yes, ULM mentioned. But that, I mean, Richard Young transferred to Colorado. Jim Miller's off to, we'll say, the NFL. Sure, the NFL.
He's out of eligibility, as far as we
Yes,
know.
he's no longer in college.
Right.
Yeah, the AK Dear, I'm intrigued in. I think he's from Mississippi.
Yeah, as is
So
Daniel Hill.
he really showed some flashes last year. Daniel Hill lost a bunch of weight, so I'm interested to see what he is. But then I mean, you might wind up relying on a true freshman in EJ Crowell, who, again, by all accounts, has all the talent. Like, is what you want, but is also a freshman running back. How much you really want to rely on a true freshman running back? So, but yeah, no, I think you're right, at least initially. I think some guys will sort of prove themselves as the season starts. But yeah, right now it's like you sort of look at it, you're like, boy, you could have really used Isaiah Horton coming back.
Yeah. Coleman Williams is interesting that he had one more catch than he had as a freshman, yet somehow had 200 less yards and half the touchdowns. It's just he was just not the big play guy that he was as a freshman.
Yeah, and they weren't really running the he sort of ran up stats towards the beginning of the freshman year when like there very much just was a play in the playbook that was like the Ryan run fast, Jalen Milroe throw far play. And it worked out well. I mean, he really it was sort of that one game, that Georgia game his freshman year, that sort of like built him up reputationally. But yeah, he's sort of in a season where he needs to like just go prove it again.
So, speaking about making Alabama fans mad, I did this a couple of weeks ago. I was on Cole Kublick and Greg McElroy's show, and they asked me about Javen James, and I was just like, This is a guy that I couldn't tell you for sure was going to start at Mississippi State. And the fact that he's at Alabama is shocking to me. I mean, I was amazed to see them pick him up. What is this Alabama offensive line going to look at? Because I'll tell you right now, if they're relying on Javen James to be a big contributor, I don't like their odds on that one.
Yeah, I think maybe the thought behind him is just like, well, all experience is good experience at this point. And that might be the case with this offensive line. Like they're young, like they've got some inexperienced guys. Like they got some, like the fact that Will Sanders is missing spring is probably not good for him at like one of those guard spots. But yeah, it's like if you didn't bring in Javen James, they made a run at Jacarius Peak, who wound up at South Carolina and I guess is
He
out for a
hurt.
while because of charity basketball injury or something.
It happens.
Yeah, maybe Shane Beamer less charity basketball next year. But if there's a next year for Shane Beamer, anyway.
Well, that's another issue, yeah.
But yeah, that's they brought in Jafin James and Rayson Delgado, the center from Cal Poly, were their two sort of experience pickups. So yeah, we'll see. I question whether could possibly be worse than last year, where I mean, you're just running this enormous rotation of dudes. Like, you got people shifting from center to guard and back and then back again. I don't know. It just was not a strength last year. That's part of why the run game was so just bad all season. I'm probably not as high. I probably wasn't as high on Caden Proctor as a player than it seems like a lot of like the NFL types are. But yeah, I don't know that Javen James is necessarily the next superstar either. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he develops and grows and all that. But yeah, no, it didn't seem like a guy who Mississippi State was really crushed to lose.
I had McElroy reeling a little bit when I told him. I was like, if this is a guy that's good, because he said he thought he was pretty good. And I was like, since when is pretty good at Mississippi State good enough to play at Alabama? It's like it really is a new day at your alma mater, Greg. What is going on? Defensively, I feel like sometimes with Alabama fans, the 2012, 2013, those days, that day of college football is just different now. You're not going to have defenses as dominant as that. That said, I thought Alabama at times last year was good defensively. They had some stretches where they played really good football on that side of the ball. What can they be this year?
I think they can be really good again. I mean, you got a bunch of just front seven spots that you're going to need to fill. Tim Keenan's gone. You lose both inside linebackers. Actually, you lose three inside linebackers because Nakai Hill-Green has gone too, along with Deontay Lawson and Justin Jefferson, who were, I mean, that was a strength last year. Those guys were veterans. They were doing what they needed to do. So you're probably leaning on some younger players there this season. Plus, they bring in Caleb Woodson, who was pretty good at Virginia Tech previously. So I think they'll fill that position okay. I think they're going to be really, really good at DB. I mean, that's not a shock. Bray Hubbard's back. He's awesome. Sabian Brown's back. Dejon Lee comes back. I mean, he took over Domani Jackson's cornerback spot. Some as a true freshman is really, really good. I think they're excited about this Carmelo O'Neal guy who's coming in from Mercer. He's the same, like, Kane Womack seems to love him, some tall ass defensive backs. And he's another one of those. So that, yeah, I feel like I have less questions about the defense than I do about the offense too. But I mean, they're also gonna have to fill that sort of bandit defensive end spot. That'd be my main question there. But like I at this point I feel more comfortable saying I think the defense will figure it out than the offense.
All right, so we've mentioned a few here and there, but I want you to tell me the new face, be it transfer or freshman, that you've got an eye on this spring that you think can have a big season for Alabama.
Ooh. I'm really intrigued by Noah Rogers, the wide receiver from NC State. It seems like the people who follow NC State feel like he was sort of miscast there last year and maybe had more to him than he was really able to show at NC State. So that intrigues me, especially because Ryan commands a lot of attention from DBs. Lotsier Brooks as well, same deal. Noah's a little taller than those guys, so he could maybe play that Isaiah Horton spot. And then Devin Tompkins from Southern Cal on the defensive line. It seems like he's going to have some positional versatility, could go between just more of a true defensive tackle and that bandit defensive end spot. I'm interested to see how they use him.
Everybody gets the same last question on these interviews. You're the first one of the year, so start us off strong. When we get to the week after Thanksgiving, what are we talking about? What are we saying about Alabama? Are you putting up hot boards? Would be my question.
I'm not sure I'm putting up hot boards. I think you might be in a similar spot as a ninth team into the playoff sort of deal. I think that's a fair expectation. Now, I think the ceiling's really high. I think if you develop your young players, especially on the offensive line, like that's my main thing. It's like if your offensive line works this season, I think you're really, really, really good. If your offensive line doesn't work this season, we might be putting up hot boards. So, yeah, I think somewhere in the middle of that, fringe play, you'd be a playoff contender, maybe not guaranteed to make the playoff. You got to see how the schedule shakes out, I guess.
Good to see Alabama back on the schedule for Mississippi State. I will see Matt Stahl a little later this year when he returns to Davis-Wade Stadium triumphantly, I might add.
You will not, actually.
Oh,
No, my dumbass brother decided he's getting married that day. So,
what kind of person? All right, never mind fun. When your brother is a beat writer for a college football team, you got to be like, I can't. Oh my gosh, why would you
no,
pass
look,
along
I'm not
my
mad
worst
at him.
wishes? My worst wishes for him.
All right. See, I'm not a. If you're a normal person who doesn't work in sports, I'm not actually anti-fall
Right.
wedding. I know
But
people
here in the
sort of do that
South,
as
it's
like a performative bit, but it's a little inconvenient for me. I'll say that. Although, the Gordo Police Department will miss out on
They
my
will. They'll
speeding
miss
ticket
out on you.
dollar.
Oh well. Matt Stahl, AL.com, man. Always appreciate talking to you.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks to Matt. First of many. We got 15 more interviews to do. I guess I'm sorry, 14 more interviews. We won't do a Mississippi State interview. That's what we're here for.
That's correct.
I don't think he's making it, because listening to Matt at the end there, talking to him about DeBoer, every interview I end with the same question: what are we talking about this team in November? And he says, probably kind of where they were last year. I don't think that's good enough at Alabama.
I think they could lose three games in the regular season,
If that's the case, they're not making the playoff, and he will be fired.
which is that's kind of what I predicted when he was hired 3 years. I just don't think he's going to reach the peak for them. And I think he's a really good coach, but his production is not aligning with that fan base's expectations, which we all knew was going to happen. In reality, they're going to have some years where they're up and down. Georgia's going to have some years where they don't make the playoff. This is such a volatile time. This is a time where there's going to be some fluctuations for teams. They're not going to be as good as they are year to year. And the transfer portal being what it is, I mean, the guys they're going after in the portal, that is not guys that Nick Saban would go after 4 or 5 years ago. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, I don't think Nick Saban's going after Jimothy Lewis and Javen James. I mean, bless their hearts, but
Kedrick
I just
Bingley
don't.
Jones, yeah.
I don't think Ke I don't think Kedrick Bingley Jones is.
Look, obviously, we got a long way to go before the start of the season, but that website, Our Lads, that I use for depth charts, they had Kedrick Bingley Jones listed as the starting nose guard. I'm just like, if that's the case, they're
That's
in
not
trouble.
good. I'm just telling you. I mean, this guy's been playing college football for 5 years. He's an awesome dude. He's a great locker room guy, and he's fought through a lot of adversity. But he's done nothing to this point, production-wise, that lines up with, being able to do it at Alabama. I just feel like this is going to end badly for Kalen DeBoer there. I don't think he's picking up the type of talent that they've grown accustomed to putting on the field, and it's made them a much more beatable team over the last few years. And this team, it's going to be tough to go to LSU and win that game. It's going to be tough to beat Georgia at home. It's going to be tough to go to Tennessee. A&M's going to be really good. These are losable games. I think they'll beat Florida State. I think they'll beat Kentucky.
I mean, we thought they'd beat Florida State last year.
But this one's
It's at
at
home.
home,
It is at home.
and that's another guy that I think is going to get fired this year, Mike Norvell. So yeah, this has been kind of my ceiling for him is 3 years. I think that's where it's going to end. I really believe that this is probably it for him.
I tend to agree with you on that one. And as I mentioned him in the, like you look at their skill position guys and you're like, where are the stars?
Yeah.
Where is the Derrick Henrys and the
I mean,
Devontae
what happened to
Smiths?
Ryan Williams last year?
Well, first off, as he pointed out, first off,
He
Ryan
has a new name.
Coleman Williams. He's
Yes.
now a Coleman. He's Joel's cousin.
Well, there we go.
My
But I mean,
bad.
that dude was a superstar his first year, and then last year he's standing on the sidelines with his helmet on. I don't understand what happened. Was he hurt?
He
Was he?
somehow had one more catch as a sophomore, but had 200 fewer yards and half the touchdowns. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know what happened.
Like Jeremiah Smith, freshman, awesome, sophomore, even better. I thought Ryan Williams was on the same trajectory. He's not. And so
I
they got a
thought
new.
for sure he would transfer and he stuck around.
He stuck around. So we'll see what happens. All right. Next week, Arkansas. Talk about the Hogs. Again, a lot of new there in Fayetteville with Ryan Silver. Yeah. With Ryan Silverfield and company. All right. Tomorrow's show, like I said, we'll really lock into this Arkansas baseball series. Jackson Fuller will join us to talk about that and get you ready. And, you know, hey, who knows? Maybe Josh Hubbard's got one more 40-point game in him, and we can get Auburn out of the NCAA tournament. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. We'll see. I don't think so, but we'll see. We'll hope we'll have our fingers crossed. I said on the air yesterday. I was like, look, with Ole Miss, and I'm not saying this because I don't like Ole Miss. Like, I could care less if they win, right? It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
I think their fans agree with me. For state, I would like to get one just to get Auburn out of the NCAA tournament discussion.
They'll probably be last four in or so, or last four out if they lose the state 16-16.
Like if some
How bad
bubble
is the bubble that Auburn is still hanging around?
if chalk holds, Auburn can still get in. Like, what are we doing? They're 16-16. We'll see. All right, guys.
Oh,
Talk to you
you
tomorrow. For Robbie
didn't
Falcon, Brian
know?
Adad, thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk,
Your ass better
Mississippi.
call somebody.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.